The showdown between Australia's Ariane Titmus and America's Katie Ledecky in the 400-metre women's freestyle was one of the most anticipated of the Tokyo Games. And gee, it didn't disappoint. Ariane Titmus won gold by just 0.67 of a second in a nail-biting finish that had the whole nation cheering. She is the first Australian to win gold in the women's 400-metre freestyle since Shane Gould won that gold medal at the Munich Olympics, alongside many others, mind you, back in 1972. Shane Gould was watching the race and she's delayed her morning swim to speak to us. Shane, welcome back to breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning, Fran. Yes, it was a marvellous race, and I was on the edge of my seat and had a few tears for her at the end, but I was willing her on, trying to breathe for her and swim for her, but she did it without my help.
Yeah, she did it without your help. She did it all on her own and she did it perfectly. Katie Ledecky won 5 gold medals at Rio. She's regarded as perhaps the greatest swimmer ever, you know, yourself accepted perhaps.
In this generation.
Certainly in this generation, Shane, let's put it that way. This is Ariane's first Olympics. They've got more battles to come. Do you see this as a changing of the guard? How significant an achievement is this race in particular?
I think both of them are at their peak. I think both of them have had injuries this year, so as a forecast for the 200-metre freestyle, which the semi-finals are going to be on today, Katie qualified fastest and Ariane qualified 4th fastest. So that's going to be another great showdown. But I think they're going to have had a lot more races against each other. So I don't think it's a changing of the guard yet. I think Ariane is up against a fabulous athlete in Katie Ledecky, so and the Americans are very, very, very competitive. They just know how to race. So if Ariane's better than Katie, you know, I think with the American might and will behind them and experience, it's she might pull through. But anyhow, we'll anticipate that final in 24 hours. And, it's great to see Ariane there and being a shining light. You know, I sort of see her with our anticipation for that race. I think it's a little bit bigger than that. You know, I don't know if it's yet the myth and legend of Farlap and Seabiscuit, you know, the mm-hmm. horses, the race horses of the depression that gave hope to so many people. But with the pandemic and just lives being disrupted and confusing information and people with, you know, just lacking hope. And I think that the Olympics, and particularly as a sporting event, and the individual within it can be our heroes and shining lights to give us hope that something will change, you know, hope that things will change, and some sense of certainty about life as well.
Some sense of positivity. Let's go to the mechanics of that race, because you are one of the few women in the world who know what it feels like to swim and win an Olympic 400 free. And it always, what I can never get over is that a race that long can come down to 0.67 of a second in the end. But it does, and it so often does, and Titmus seemed to pace herself really well and save her energy for when it counted the most. How important is that in a race like the 400-metre free, knowing exactly where you want to be at every 50-metre change?
Well, it's really, you manage your energy levels, and she's swum a lot of 400 freestyles that they both have. So they know how they can release their energy and how much to keep for the end. So you, if you keep too much, you know, you're going to go too slow. And if you burn up too much at the beginning, well, you haven't got it for the end. So experience counts there. But for what Katie, her only tool in the toolbox was to burn Ariane off. And to get ahead of her, you know, just nail the speed. And once Katie gets her speed, she can just hold that speed. She's remarkable in that ability over all those long distances. And that's what makes her just so remarkable. She can just hit a speed and keep doing the same thing over and over. But Ariane is showing that she can do that. So once Ariane, I saw her on that sixth lap.
The 300-metre mark.
Yeah, the seventh lap, when she overtook her and turned first at the last lap, well, then I knew that that it was going to be race on. But it's whether Katie just had more in the tank than
Much, Shane, how much are you hurting at that 350-metre mark?
Oh, you're just wishing it was over.
Right.
Sometimes the fifth lap is the hardest because I think there's chemical changes that happen in your body and then it sort of all gets recycled, you know, all that lactic acid gets recycled somehow. But anyhow, you get a second wind, so-called. But by the seventh lap, you know you're on the downhill run.
It seems like, going back to that sort of that tiny margin between them at the end, that every second and millisecond counts. Ariane seemed to pick up at every turn, and commentators were pointing out the Australians do seem to be turning well at this Olympics. How important are those fractions of a second?
Oh, very, very important. And, you know, it's the speed that you come out of the turns, that your breakouts is where the races are won and lost. So when you come out from under the water, the top of the water, like if the, you know, a friend of mine, Alex Nikitin in the US, he crunched some numbers and said if you come out just 0.2 of a second faster at 15 metres, you're going to be 1.8 seconds faster after 100 metres in freestyle. Mm. Wow. So it's those speeds. Everyone's going to slow down. So I think that's fantastic when you can see the metres per second.
Yeah.
It's
incredible what we can see. The coverage is wonderful. Ariane's coach, Dean Boxall, has gone viral, his explosive reaction to her victory. And he said when he started coaching her, quote, Katie Ledecky was so far in front of us we couldn't even have that conversation about beating her. How important is the chemistry between coach and athlete to get a result like this?
Yeah, you have to believe in the coach and what, you know, you have to trust what the coach tells you to do. And over time, you know, if you get the results and you enjoy the relationship that you have, that can be a really uplifting and secure bond. I was a bit disappointed in, you know, I'm a fairly conservative person, I guess, in my expressions, but. But I was just a bit disappointed that that Dean was that emotive, and it became a viral thing, because I think it's about the athlete. It's not about the coach. And, you know, so I think he overdid it a bit there. He could have done that outside. But on camera, I was a bit disappointed, particularly his thrusting, you know, which is, I think, rather inappropriate. And he justified that, you know, but inappropriate for coaching a female swimmer.
Well, let's go to that issue, really. There was a lot of talk after London about the toxic culture within the swimming team. The Australians, and the Australian women in particular, are performing very well so far in the pool, so far. It's early days yet. Do you put that down to a change in the culture? Do you have any insight into that?
Look, I think there's waves of golden fishes who come through in Australian swimming. It's a very highly valued, you know, the skill of swimming, even though a lot of people drown still and not everyone can swim, you know, and a lot of people can't swim very well. So we gain a lot of kudos, you know, from people who can swim. But there are waves, like I said, of women who come through, or I call them the golden fish. And I think we're in a phase now of some great female golden fishes. Mm-hmm. But the actual culture, I think what's lacking, yes, certainly there was a review of Australian swimming in 2012, and a lot of changes have happened. But I still think that there's a strong culture of misogyny in swimming, and we need more female coaches. Like, there's nine male coaches.
Maddie Groves called that out. I mean, she's a Rio silver medalist. She pulled out because, you know, she said there was too much misogyny, too many perverts exploiting female athletes.
Yes, and that's part of the culture, and the culture has to change, and the sport of swimming will reflect the general culture, but swimming sport has the ability to show the way because it's dynamic. The people coming through it change often, and so the culture can change, and they can be a leading light in how to be more respectful of women and give women more opportunities, particularly in coaching and leadership positions.
Are there many female coaches at that level?
No, because it's a shitty lifestyle. and there's no maternity benefits for women and female coaches, and it's just dominated by some very strong characters of men, and so that needs to change. Like the great Adam Peaty, you know, the British breaststroker, the guy with just amazing physique. His coach is Melanie Marshall, so she's a female coach of Adam. There's only been two female coaches in the US in the swimming team. There was a lady called Olive Mucher in 1968, and Terry McKeever. Is the only second one. So it's not just Australian swimming, it's the sport itself lends itself to men being in those positions.
Well, at least as you've outlined there, that you can see where the room to change is, to change things is. Shane Gould, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for giving up your morning swim, but I'm actually thinking we've done you a favour, because aren't you in Tasmania? The water would be pretty cold right now, wouldn't it?
That's right. It is indeed, but, you know, grin and bear it, and you get out and 12 degrees at the moment, and, you know, a 10 or 15 minute swim, and you just feel great when you get home and have a hot shower.
Give us a tip. How many swimming caps do you wear to go into that temperature?
I wear two thick silicone caps and a nice warm thermal wetsuit.
Shane Gould, one of our favourite golden fishers, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Australian Olympic swimming legend Shane Gould.